How many times have we become discouraged with our lack of spiritual progress and our lack of overcoming during the course of the year? You know, we look back over the year 2005 as we begin 2006, and we look at the whole year. How many times, brethren, how many times have we failed to maybe reach the mark that we've heard so much about over the many years that we've been in the church? You know, this is already February. David and I were talking about how quickly the year has already gone by. Well, probably more often than we care to count about missing the mark. You know, let's break it down a little bit more. How about the last month? How have we progressed over the last month spiritually? You know, when we start thinking of it like that, it's still pretty discouraging. Well, what about the last, maybe the past week? You know, that can't be too bad, can it? It's only the last 7 days. Surely everything has gone all right in our life for the last week. You know, hopefully we have pleased God with some of the, or hopefully most of our behavior. He's looked at us every day this week, ever since we've been called, and hopefully most of our behavior over the past 7 days has been good. I'm sure there are some times when we certainly did not please God. Let's just break it down maybe a little bit more. Have we sinned today? So far, brethren, how's our day gone? Well, perhaps you have managed to be without sin up to this point. You're one of the lucky ones. Perhaps even this past week you might have been really diligent. You know, you might have prayed every day. I know it's hard for me to walk out the door without praying. Studied your Bible, kept up with your Bible reading. You know, living God's way of life, striving to overcome our sins and our weaknesses, is a daily battle. You know, we've been beaten every single day, it seems like, since we've come into the church. That's why when I try to consider the whole past year, it can be very discouraging. And last month's problems seem the same way. And if you're the average, then even with last week's problems, you know you didn't make it through the past week with a perfect score, did you? Maybe you've done okay so far today, but today is not over. You know, it's three o'clock. We have a couple hours left, I guess, until the Sabbath is over. We have a little bit of time left. You know, it began at sunset last night, and we have until sunset today. You know, well, really, as fast as this past year has gone, time right now, brethren, is more precious now than ever before. It really is. You know, God has created different cycles of time. He's created a yearly cycle, a monthly cycle, and certainly we all are accustomed to the weekly cycle. Here we are again on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day comes once a week, and we are all accustomed that way. We understand that. But then there's the daily cycle, each day. That's what I'd like to talk about. God has created man to conform to a daily cycle. You know, there's a physical rejuvenation that God gives us, and it's a natural break that He gives us daily. You know, you can't live a year at a time. You can't overcome a month at a time. I don't think you can. It's just no way you can do it. You can't even, you know, you can't even overcome a day at a time, really. It's very difficult. Each of us has to face life on a daily basis. So I believe God's created us to live one day at a time. That's what this is about today, my sermonette. You know, living one day at a time. Let's start in Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 11. The model prayer that we've all read many, many, many times. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't say there to give us a week. It doesn't say there to give us a week's supply of his daily bread. We go to God each day and ask God for this day to give us just enough. You know, the Israelites were told to gather manna every day with the exception of the sixth day, where they gathered twice as much because of the Sabbath. But there's something for all of us to learn here. I believe that there's an additional principle that God wants us to see here in terms of our spiritual growth. Our spiritual growth and our progress, as well as our physical necessities. God knows what we need. So we're told in another verse in Luke, you don't have to turn there. We've all read it. Give us day by day our daily bread. Again, it is said in Luke. In other words, God is telling us, enough for that day. Give me just enough today, God. Give me just enough today to get through this day. Not be thinking about tomorrow. You know, I know we're all supposed to plan for the future, and we're supposed to plan ahead. You know, God's Word tells us that. But then on the other hand, there's an additional principle here that God wants us to see in terms of our spiritual growth. We're just here for a little time. We're not here very long, are we? You know, I read a wonderful article by Mr. Weber a few weeks ago. If you haven't read it, I really recommend it. Surviving the Storms of Life. He brought out some excellent principles. I want to touch on that in a second. You know, the people of this society are always looking at tomorrow. They're always looking at tomorrow. What if? What if? Right now, the Oklahoma lottery has just made its debut. The Powerball. People are, I think it's up to $170 million or more right now that someone could win. They don't live for today. They live for tomorrow. Whatever they can do and accumulate. Wow, I'm going to get all this money. Always looking for tomorrow. Always living for tomorrow. It was kind of like that way. It was that mentality in the retail business. I'm very familiar with that concept. It's called the get way of life. We're not going to win a lottery, I don't think, any of us. We got something a lot more important than that to look forward to. You know, a Christian is not one who is simply waiting around for his or her reward. We don't just sit and wait for this lottery to hit. We should be actively preparing for what? The kingdom of God. We don't just hang around waiting for something to happen. We directly get involved to make it happen. I remember a long time ago when I first came into the church, you've got to be involved. You can't just pray about something. You've got to be involved. It's not going to happen. We live day by day, and when it's all over, it equals what, brethren? It equals life. It really does. It equals life. And life is made up of so much time, and time is divided into days, as far as we're concerned, isn't it? Each day we take. Each day at a time. We need to learn to face our problems on a daily basis. In other words, we need to learn the principle of living one day at a time. You know, you don't experience happiness tomorrow like some of these people are hoping that they win this lottery. They put all of their whole life is devoted to being at that 7-Eleven and buying that lottery ticket. Going back to the article by Mr. Weber, he states, it is essential that every day we prayerfully walk into the throne room of God. ask that he supply what? Supply our daily bread in his will, not our own will, but to pray for God's will to be done. And then, when that happens, brethren, whatever comes, it is for our own good. Sometimes you pray that prayer, and you really don't want to know what God has got in store for you. Sometimes it's something that we didn't think that, I don't want this, but this is what I prayed for. His will is ultimately not about, though, our physical deliverance. It never will be. It's about our spiritual salvation, day by day. Now let's look at Psalms in chapter 118. Psalms in chapter 118. In verse 24, this is what our approach should be each and every day of our lives, brethren. 118 and verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. But God makes each one of these days for us. It's been signaled out here to one day, not many days. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Because who knows? Who knows, brethren, if we'll see tomorrow? We need to thank God today. God does look after us on a daily basis. In Psalms in chapter 68 and verse 19. In Psalms in chapter 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Oh, how he loads us, brethren, every single day if we just ask him with the benefits. More of his Holy Spirit, more of his guidance and wisdom in our lives and what we're going through. He's there for us. And again, the list would be endless if we were to start trying to list all the things that God does for us, even on a daily basis. We take so many things for granted, don't we? We need to consider what God does for us today. You know, I read a story recently which reminded me of a very dear friend of mine in Maryland. I think you might have remembered Goldie. And the story was about a husband who was going through some of his wife's belongings, and he came across a special article of clothing. And as he unwrapped the gift box, he stared at both the silk paper and box, and he said to his friend standing there by him, "You know, my wife got this the first time we went to New York 8 or 9 years ago. She's never worn it. She's always said that she was saving it for a special occasion. Well, I guess this is it." So he got near the bed and he placed the gift box next to the other articles of clothing that he was taking to the funeral home. His wife had just died. He turned to his friend again and said, "Never save something for a special occasion. Every day, every hour, every minute is special." You know, we need not to forget that. You know, brethren, how true this is. And again, how many times do we sometimes still say, "One of these days"? You know, Goldie used to do the same thing. We would go over there and she would have boxes and boxes of gifts that she had, you know, never ever worn because she was saving them for a special time. Seems like that happens with all the older people. They're in their glory, you know, they're in their years of not quite yet ready to fall asleep, but still looking for that special occasion. You know, one good principle to follow is to simply do the best you can with what you have where you are today. And just enjoy this ride that God has given us. I can't change a thing in my past. You know, I can't change anything. But that's about all that you and I can do. Once you've given it your best shot, you turn it over to God. You ask him to give you a good night's sleep tonight. The day is over. You go to bed. You take your melatonin. Stuff works. and you ask God to give you a good night's sleep. I'm turning these problems over to you, Father. Put tomorrow, if you will, in God's hands and try to get a good night's sleep. This is not a thing that we can do. The day is over. What if our entire eternity was based on what we're really and what we're like today? Have you ever thought of that? I hope it isn't. Maybe today might have been better than another day, but I don't know how God is going to judge us. And what I pray for is His mercy. Because I know I need a lot of mercy. I need that special mercy that Mr. Pennelly was talking about in his sermon. A special mercy that God gives to His children. That's the mercy that we should be asking for. You know, I read scriptures, and I know that you do, about the righteous scarcely making it. I wonder, where do the sinner and the ungodly fit in? That's what really scares me. Because I know I'm not there. But then you read these other verses, and they really make you come to life. I mean, about what God starts out to do, He intends to complete. And that's what we've got to look forward to. In verses like, you don't need the term there, but in Philippians, he talks about the good work that God has begun in us. And he will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. So I believe that the time we're converted until the return of Jesus Christ, that we are being judged. Judgment is on us now. And God is judging us daily. So hopefully God is judging us on our whole lifespan, brethren, from the time we were converted until the return of Christ. Skipping some of this. God will see us through. God promises to see us through. He intends to save us, but He needs our cooperation. You need to look at it in a positive way. He is certainly taking care of all of His children. He promises He will. He promises that He will see us through. But just for the sake of doing it, what if our entire eternity were based on what we were like today? That's spooky, isn't it? Would you live today any differently? Would I? I knew this was my last day on earth. Would I live a little bit differently in this physical life? You know, brethren, when you get right down to it, I guess that's what it's really all about, this calling that God has given us. God is judging us today. We have a lifetime of today's, and we don't know how many days we have left. None of us do. Back in Psalms, in chapter 4, 39, verse 4, if you want to just, for time's sake, just write that down. It's Psalms 39 and verse 4. David says, "Lord, make me know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am." Verse 5, "Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths," very, very short. "And my age is nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor." That starts to kick in a little bit more the older you get, and the more you study and the more you pray. Back to Matthew in chapter 6 in verse 34. "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Basically, what it is telling us, what it is saying here, brethren, is do not fret over tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own anxieties. One day's trouble is enough for one day. We've got enough in each day that we live, to be bothered with what's going to happen tomorrow. Another one in Proverbs 27:1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." I don't know yet what this day is going to bring forth. And I know that if you stay close to God, that God will get us through it. And he'll allow us to see and how true that is. Brethren, in closing, we just need to accept the hand of life that we're dealt with today and move forward. You know, God called us. Our minds are convicted. We need to ask ourselves, can I succeed? Can I endure? And can I tough it out today? Then don't worry about tomorrow. God's strength comes daily. All we have to do is ask for it. You and I are in a joint project with God, every single one of us. Building a temple, and a temple is built stone by stone, day by day. Our todays determine what tomorrows will be like. Our lives are just made up of so much time, and what we do with that time is very, very important in each day, every day. How we use it is what makes the difference. Do we share sufficient time with our mates, with our children, and others that we are able to? You know, sharing time with someone, especially someone who is lonely, can mean so much to that person, perhaps more than you'll ever realize. That phone rings and rings and rings in the evenings. It's Marilyn's mother. And she gives us her phone number, and it's our phone number. You know, she's mixed up on the phone number. Just need somebody to talk to tonight. Life is not measured, brethren, by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. And how true that is. Let's make each and every day count. Let's learn, brethren, to live one day at a time.